AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Wheat futures pulled off an incredible rally this week. Man, it was impressive. That helped corn and soy complex futures work to the upside. Live cattle futures had to respect strength in the cash market, while lean hog futures got ambushed by sellers in the second half of the week.
Live from the final lap of the week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Dan Huber from the Huber Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, man, it's happening. The rain has started.
Is it?
It took a little while. I think maybe even a little bit longer than what it was expected to get here. But it has arrived. We've got wave two of several waves expected over the weekend happening right now. When you look out into eastern Nebraska, there are one, two, three, four different tornado warnings. I think that's it. Four different tornado warnings in place. All of eastern Nebraska, a lot of western Iowa is in a tornado watch right now.
Okay.
So it's kind of rough conditions. You get all the way down into central Texas, just north of Waco. We're looking at one, two tornado warnings there and tornado watch across most of the area, including Dallas, Fort Worth area.
Okay.
So the storms that were predicted are happening. And it's expected to be an active weekend in the Midwest. So stay aware. Stay aware.
I feel like those words are wrong.
No.
A tornado warning means one's been spotted in your locale.
Right.
A tornado watch means keep an eye out.
It means that conditions are
they're
conducive
the conditions
for
are
the development of a tornado.
Exactly. How did we get these backwards? Because that sounds like
a
warning. Keep an eye out for possible conditions. That's a warning.
Watch
means
out.
Looky there, right?
Yeah, watch out. Watch out. Just a heads up. Watch out. Conditions are right. We could get a tornado.
Mm.
Warning! There is a tornado.
I think we need to bring Phil Vassar in on this. Let's add that to the list.
He's the only guy that can answer these kinds of questions.
That's right. That's right.
I get it.
I get it.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Friday afternoon. What a week it was for the wheat market. We'll have some of the details there. Looking forward to the conversation with Dan Huber from the Huber Report coming up in just a little bit. All right,
Let's
get to it.
Well, Chip, wheat futures ended the day mid-range but completed a seventh consecutive higher close. Next resistance in July hard red winter wheat futures is at the December 6 high of 682 3/4. After that, it's the October high of 707 1/4, which aligns well with the 50% retracement of the decline from last summer's high to the March low. Deteriorating hard red winter wheat crop condition ratings and a forecast calling for dry conditions in western production areas helped provide support for wheat this week. Price gains, however, were more likely tied to short covering by professional trading funds. July HRW wheat futures were 13 3/4 cents higher at 654 1/4. July SOW wheat up 1 3/4 cents to 622 1/4. July spring wheat closed at 703 and a half on your July spring wheat, up 5 1/4 cents, Chip.
Yeah, no sass close there. Got right over $7.
Way over. Yeah, we'll take it.
No doubt. Okay. Wheat was the leader this week on the rally. How much longer it can continue, I have no idea. But at some point, today's close breaks a pattern because the last two significant upside corrections that we saw in wheat futures lasted six consecutive higher closes. Today was the seventh. So we're breaking a pattern. We're into something that we don't really know about at this point. But at some point, it's the correction in wheat has got to get tired. It's got to pass the baton. Mm-hmm. And because I believe a lot of this is just simply based on short covering, not any specific fundamental reason. Because of that, passing the baton makes sense to me. Now maybe it needs to go over to corn, then maybe over to soybeans. So we could just be starting the process here. So how big of a rally was it? July SRW wheat futures this week up 55.5 cents.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There you
go. July HRW wheat up 71.25.
Okay.
And July spring wheat up 51 cents on the week. It was a big week.
Huh. Well, July corn futures pushed higher on Monday, then traded on both sides of 450 for the rest of the week. July corn seems tethered to 450 for now. Resistance is at this week's high of 454.25 and at the March 28 high of 460. Support at Thursday's low of 446.5 and at Monday's low of 439.75. Spillover buying from wheat, Argentina's late season corn crop problems, increased export demand for U.S. corn, and fund short covering all get credit for helping corn prices move higher this week. May corn futures today were a penny lower, 440. July corn down 2 cents today, 450. December corn futures closed at 473.5, down 2.75 on the day, Chip.
All right. So
yeah,
when we go over the change, well, July corn up 7 cents on the week, December corn up 7.25 cents on the week. It kind of went kicking and screaming to the upside with those, you know, compared to the gains that we saw in the wheat market this week. Yeah.
Well, July soybean futures traded on both sides of 1180 each day this week. July beans today opened slightly lower, spiked above 1180, then fell back to post a mid-range close. The end result was an inside trading day with a close below the opening range. That should generate follow-through selling on the open of Monday's trade. Beans did close above last Friday's close on spillover support from the rally in wheat and on increasing concern that U.S. corn and soybean plantings will be delayed until the middle of May. The risk of heavy rains on still-to-be-harvested beans in Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, and Uruguay may have also provided some encouragement for higher bean prices this week. May soybean futures 3.25 lower, 11.59.5. July beans down 2.5, 11.77.25. November beans closed at 11.74.75. That's down 0.75 today.
July soybeans on the week up 11.5 cents. November soybeans up 13.75. July soybean oil up 60 points and July soybean meal up $1.50 a ton. So everything made its way to the upside this week.
Well, July cotton futures traded in a tight sideways price range this week and consolidated just above 80 cents. July cotton today was 18 points lower at 80.90. As usual, I have no idea what happened in the cotton on the week, Chip. I couldn't even ballpark it.
Not a lot. Down 12 points.
No.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, volatility came back into the cattle complex as traders accounted for late week strength in cash cattle bids. Uncertainty about the overall impact of H5N1 on consumer beef demand added to volatility this week. Let me see. I'm going to have to pull up my charts page here. Let's go on to the hogs. Lean hogs rallied at the start of the week. Gave it all back after midweek. May hogs today a buck lower, 94.27.5. June hogs down 252.5 to 102.47.5. And how quickly can I get to my charts page, Chip? Ready,
I can get
go.
It here.
I'll race you.
We had June live cattle today. We're up 77.5 at 178.57.5. October cattle up 90 cents at 180.60. May feeder cattle today up 245 to 248.70. Now on the week, June live cattle up $2.90. May feeder cattle up $6.70.
Wow.
June lean hogs down $2.35. All right, come on back. We've got Dan Huber from the Huber Report next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Justin Timberlake probably lives someplace where they don't have to worry about watches or warnings or anything like that, I suppose.
Probably. Well, you know, you pay for that kind of stuff in the weather. Why would anybody, if you've got that kind of money, order up anything but clear weather? I don't know. Wes Exelby.
Yes.
Big Apple Joe.
Oh, thank you.
That's who was in the car with me several years ago out on crop tour when we pulled up to, we were going through York, Nebraska, and just east of York, Nebraska, right now there are, it looks like three tornado warnings are in place. But as we were pulling through York and getting down to I-80 on good old farm radio, out there in Nebraska, we heard that there was a tornado right along 80 at York. And we came up the incline up to the overpass. And as we could see on the other side of 80, there it was. It was right there. So we got on I-80 West, and I drove fast.
Who was that you were with?
Wes Exelby out of Michigan.
Wes Exelby? That sounds made up. You know, I was down gigging frogs with Jarn Flipston that day. Yeah. I can make up names, too.
Yeah, Wes is
I believe
not
the event.
Wes is not made up.
Okay.
He's a
Hello,
good
Wes.
Dude.
Apologies,
good dude.
Then.
All right. You know, Dan Huber from the Huber Report is also not made up.
No, he's a real guy. Yeah.
He's a real guy. He joins us right now. How you doing, Dan?
Very well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay, keeping track of what's going on with the weather and trying to keep up with what's going on in the markets. Dan.
Yeah, your weather sounds a bit more exciting than ours. We just have rain, no tornadoes. So.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, 50 to 70 cents in wheat this week, depending on the flavor. That's a big move in a week, dude.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and you know, I would say – you know, at least in my estimation, a long overdue one. You know, we have we've been tracking this market really lower since what, November. You know, in a long downturn, and you know, tried to rally a little bit March, April, and couldn't quite hang on to it. But the second rally came with a vengeance. So, I show it as from low to high in July wheat to 83 cents over 6 days. So that's impressive by anyone's standards. So.
Darn right it is. Darn right it is. Why?
Yeah.
Short covering? Is there any other fundamental reasons?
No, I tend to think most specifically short covering. Yeah, you might be able to say the crop ratings dropped a little bit, but I think that's more window dressing than anything else. And, you know, on a international basis, you know, we're relatively competitive. You know, it's that time of the season to where we can be in a decent position. But, I mean, sales. Certainly. Well, new crop sales have not been too bad. Of course, old crop, we're just finishing up the crop there, crop year. But I think a little over 300 million metric ton, if I remember right, this last week. So they're chipping along fine, but, you know, not outstanding by any stretch of the imagination. So, yeah, I think you got to chalk it up to a short covering, which, and you know, it's the large specs, definitely short of the wheat market, not as short as they are on the corn. So you almost would have expected corn to react first, but... But regardless, you know, wheat led the way, and you know, I kind of tend to. I heard you earlier, and I think I tend to agree. I think we're probably stretching this move out about as far as we can get it at this point in time. So, but you know, that's just normal. You know, you can't continue on forever. So, as I said this morning in my comments, all good things come to an end. So,
just not today.
right, not quite. Although you know the. You know, granted, gains again today in the week, but when you know, particularly Chicago, you look at the close.
Yeah,
you know, every day this week, every day for the last 6 days, we closed towards the high side of the range. Today, you know, middle to the lower side of the range. So,
right, yep.
Yeah, and it's Friday, so yeah.
Yeah, losing a little bit of momentum in there. I don't think there's any question about it. But I will admit, Dan, I will admit, yesterday morning and this morning, around 8 o'clock, I was watching for a daily export sales report just in case somebody slipped in to buy some wheat this week. I mean, is that realistic or is that just wishful thinking?
No, I think realistic. You know, it's always nice to get a little something to back up a rally like this. And certainly nobody's going to announce it ahead of time. But I mean, that goes the same. The same thing can be said about markets like this in general. You know, I like to take I keep a track of just a combination of, you know, corn, wheat, Kansas City wheat, soybeans, combine them all together and put them in a chart. Yeah. And, you know, I think it gives kind of a nice perspective of what the whole group is doing. And, you know, the whole when you look at the whole grain soy basket, you know, it's been working sideways for, you know, the better part of 2 months. And usually when you get into a pattern like that, ultimately it's going to come out of the upside. You know, it's, you know, there we've factored all the bearish news in there. And in reality, markets never rally or they never find a bottom because we hit this miraculous piece of great news is going to take us out of here. We just get tired of going to the downside. We stretch it too far and we need to kind of rebalance that. And I kind of think that's what we're staring at here in the wheat and, you know, hopefully not too distant future over in the corn and maybe even the soybeans. Although soybeans, boy, you know, that's the one that has the fundamentals that are pretty tough to get by at that point.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I said, hopefully when slash if wheat decides that it's tired of being a leader in the grain markets, that it'll pass the baton over to one of the other markets. To me, and I think to you, corn makes the most sense for next, right?
The most logical one, certainly. Yeah, and I say, you know, I mentioned previously, you know, when you look at where are the large specs short, boy, it's by, you know, hands down, it's in the corn market. So, and you know, normally when you start moving into the late spring, early summer months, that's when they tend to come out of there, you know, stay on the buy side, you know, not necessarily go long, but stay on the buy side until the end of June. So, you know, that like I say, you know, not that markets have to be logical, but, you know, that seems like the next logical step here for the corn market. May have to get into the beginning of May to make that happen. But, you know, I think the stage is set for that type of a move.
Well, and quite frankly, Dan, if we're looking at a market that might have some fundamental support for a rally, and I know that we're still looking at that carryover at the end of the 23-24 over 2 billion bushels, I get all of that. But at least there's some export demand that's showing up for U.S. corn right now.
Oh, right. I mean, and it has been pretty sick, pretty consistent, you know, for the last several months. So, no, and, you know, I think taking it a step further, you know, where's the risk right now? Is the risk because we know we've got a 2 point whatever billion bushel carryout? No, the risk is we've got a growing season right in front of us. So, you know, if we're going to tilt the scale one way or another, it's because we've had a weather problem. And I think that would tend to prompt, you know, some of that speculative shortcoming to come sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah. So here in the past couple of weeks, all of a sudden the Argentine corn crop became an issue for the U.S. corn market.
For several reasons.
Go ahead.
Well, you know what I mean? One, insect problems, you know, late season dryness. It's, you know, the difficult part about looking at South America this year is, you know, when you look at all the nations down there, you know, corn is probably going to struggle the most. Beans, we're still going to have a ton of beans around, you know, so it's hard to really build much on that one. But yeah, the corn, you know, we've taken it down under what were some of the you know, even the low end estimates for a while there. So I think it keeps us in a fairly competitive situation. You know, Ukraine is still, of course, going to produce corn, but I mean, their crops have been kind of ignored by the market to a large extent. So yeah, we're going to be the game in town. And, you know, of course, nothing makes demand step up like having a weather scare. And not that has to happen or is going to happen, but, you know, it's hard to find a year where you don't get at least some kind of an inkling that that's going to be the case in the growing season.
Yeah. Yeah, and we still got to put the finishing touches on Brazil's safrinha crop, too. There's no guarantees on that crop.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's really, you're probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from really starting to see harvest there. So it's and nothing says that harvest is going to go smooth either. So you're right. I mean, there's just, like I say, I think there's just a lot of risk factors that would tend to favor the upside of markets right now. So yeah, I'm for one that I now, not that it's going to be necessarily a what you would call a bullish move. Although, I mean, I'd certainly say it was bullish action of the week this week, but I don't think it's at all unrealistic to think we could eventually get a five in front of December corn again.
All right. Okay, we've got a lot of ground that I want to cover yet with Dan Huber
Sure.
from the Huber Report. But first, we've got to go ahead and take a break. The narrative and the attitudes in the corn and soybean market seem to have been flip-flopping just a little bit, as you alluded to earlier, Dan. It's tough to tell that bullish story for soybeans right now. Well, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about our domestic crush, and I want to talk about crop prospects for the year ahead. We didn't get all the acres back to beans that the market thought we should. Where does that leave us for late summer marketings? We'll talk about that next.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 13 and three quarter cents higher, 654 at a quarter. July SRW wheat up a penny and three quarters to 622 and one quarter. May corn futures were a penny lower at 440. December corn closed at 473 and one half. That's down 2 3/4 cents on the day. May soybean futures 3 1/4 cents lower, 1159 and a half. November beans closed at 1174 and three quarters, down 0.75 cents. July cotton today 18 points lower at 8090. On your livestock's June live cattle gained 77 and one half cents to 178.57 and one half. May feeders $2.45 higher at 248.70. And June lean hog futures were down $2.52 and one half cents today to 102.47 and one half. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Friday afternoon for a conversation with Dan Huber from the Huber Report. Dan, let's go back to March 28th, the prospective plantings report. Corn planted acres comes in at 90 million. Soybean planted acres comes in at 86.5 million. What are your thoughts on those numbers? Do they make sense?
Well, yeah, and again, like many others, I thought maybe we'd see a little more of a swing to the bean acres. Just because it's a cheaper crop to put in, there's certainly not a lot of profitability showing up on either one of the crops here at this point in time. But I mean, I think the beans are, unless you really believe you're going to be able to yield your way out of it, That beans might have been a little stronger choice for some, but here again too. I mean, I think it's reflective that of the stress that's out there in the farm community right now. Nobody's really in expansion mode period, so you're right. We're probably going to see some acreage go back to being set aside, and who knows how much of that's coming because it's I've talked to a number of different lenders this year, and they say it's been a miserable. Winter months here is they're trying to get people to make cash flows work, and it's just a difficult task. So people are just cutting corners where they can cut corners.
Yeah. What you're saying there, that is probably part of the reason that on principal crop acres, taking in all the principal crops, we're off 6.3 million from a year ago. We got to find some of those acres and bring them back into production, don't we?
Oh, I if there's enough incentive, I mean, I'm sure we could, but here again, granted, they're probably more so on the fringe areas, so it doesn't necessarily reduce total overall production as significantly as, of course, if it was coming out of the middle section of the country. But right now, I haven't seen much change from the middle of March until now, and it would suggest that we're going to be able to bring that back out into other crops. Now, granted, maybe we'll see some additional double crop. If the wheat crop comes off in good shape in the soybeans, but outside of that, I don't know if we pulled that much out of it this year. So if you remember back in, if it was February or March, when the USDA released their 10-year baseline productions, boy, what a bleak picture. They're basically showing flatline for the next decade, and nobody has the perfect answer on that. But on the same token, they have the ability and the background and the ability, information that gives you a pretty good handle. And, right now that didn't paint a very cheery picture for anybody wanting to invest in agriculture. So.
Yeah, dude, with all of the increase in the crush capacity that was coming up, the balance sheet on beans in that 10 years showed very much a lack of imagination on what could or might happen or what is indicated to happen because of the crush capacity that's coming online, right?
Yeah. Well, you would hope so. And here again, too, I mean, boy, if we even back a couple months ago, we were still hyping up, what was going to be coming online up into the Northern Plains. And we've tended to forget, of course, anytime you get a little snafu in the palm oil market, you get the bean oil market to hop it again, but boy, it seemed we just can't seem to hold two and two together. And I guess maybe we're thinking, we're looking at it too short term. Those changes that are going to happen or potentially will happen, particularly when it comes to the renewable fuel side of it, are going to take years to really develop. I mean, it's nothing happens overnight. Now, I guess maybe we got the cart just a little bit ahead of the horse here.
Yeah. But still, we're looking at crush records on a monthly basis going forward, aren't we?
Oh yeah. I mean, and again, I mean, the market has not responded to that, which is telling you just how kind of lackluster we are on or interested we are at this point in time. But yeah, I mean, we're setting, even though it was a little less than anticipated last month, it was still a new record crush for the month. But the drag on it, which again hasn't been the oil. The drag on it so far has been the meal market.
Yeah,
and granted, we're pretty level on our hog inventories here. We have another avian flu snafu going. I shouldn't call it snafu, a problem in the poultry sector. So we're not really looking at expansion of feedstuffs here, and then go to China. Where they're very deliberately cutting back on hog herds.
Yeah.
It's, so it just doesn't paint a picture for moving a lot of meal on the world market here over the next year.
Yeah. Can you believe it? They can't figure out exactly how to manage the supply of hogs from one central office. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always been so effective in the past.
Yeah, and
Russia taught them nothing about that, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And they still try. They still try.
And of course, when you use that as an example, they try to run an entire population of what, 1.4 billion people from one person. It's just I mean, I. granted, I guess we're getting a different topic there, but
no, that's
I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine that in our lifetime we're not going to see the entire thing crumble there. I mean, their demographics are so disastrous that it's, you know, maybe that'll finally, at least in our lifetime, put the whole nonsense of communism to rest. So
yes, yeah, yeah, that's a good point. It's going to be, you know, when that when it does start to ultimately crumble, and I'm with you. I'm with you. I got to believe the same thing. It will be history in the making. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
And watching how it happens and why it happens and who's going to lead the demise is going to be very interesting. Okay.
Right.
Yes. Talk to me about cattle. What are your thoughts in here? Good grief. Talk about a sensitive group of traders to the HPA, the H5N1 bird flu virus in the bovines.
Yeah. You know, the cattle market, I guess, personally, is the one that is just the most perplexing at this point. I mean, yes, sensitive to kind of some of those short-term influence things. And I see they're going to, we have to test cattle that move between states here and this. But you know, there's going to be some seasonality in that. You know, it looks like bird flu is going to be, with us every year. There's migratory birds moving around. But is it any worse than any other disease or, you know, mad cow or anything else we've kind of faced in the cattle market? But the reality we know in the cattle market is the inventories are nothing. I mean, we're still at these, we're not expanding the overall herd, which kind of has to keep you with a, you know, how do you be bearish on a situation like that? But that said, you know, there becomes the price point. You know, do consumers continue to enjoy the same amount of beef as they have in the past? And I think the answer on that is probably no. Not that it's going to be a wholesale turning their backs on it, but, you know, there's what tempers the bullishness, you know, versus, you know, what the inventory numbers are out there. So, like I say, I'm very mixed. You know, short term, you know, it looks good. I think we could probably take, at least tack a couple more dollars onto him after today's performance. But that said, you know, can we move into the kind of levels that the inventories would suggest? I guess I hesitate to say yes on that.
Right. You know, there's even some out there that Dan are questioning whether or not this beef herd will even rebuild. The question keeps coming up. Who's going to do it? Who's going to step up and take on the job of expanding a beef herd? We've asked that question for decades, and the economic incentive always shows up, and we tend to rebuild that beef herd. I don't know if we get all the way back, but we got to put some numbers back into it.
Well, I think ultimately, but I mean, yeah, no, I think you will ever get back to where we were a decade ago or 20 years ago. No, we just, as per capita, we do not consume that kind of beef anymore. And again, there's certainly a lot of competition out there from other competing meats. But, you know, that said, it's still kind of the America's choice, you know, so it's, and again, you know, throw in, we're going into the barbecue season, and here again, it's just pretty tough to be too much of a barrier at this time.
Exactly. Okay. Couple of minutes left here. Let's spend 30 seconds on cattle marketing. Your ideas there. I mean, with prices up where they're at, shouldn't we have some downside protection in place?
I think so. You know, and again, looking at the June contract, I mean, I think there is I think we're at least going to, you know, take a test of the 180 level, maybe get as high as 183. And I think absolutely, you know, I think you just have to put a floor under there. If you've got cattle out in the feedlots at this point, put some kind of a foundation in there. I mean, unusual that, we've had almost a kind of a carry situation in the cattle market right now. I mean, that seems a little bit, you know, unusual when you look out to the October's here at 180 already. But yes, you know, I think it, without using at least some kind of a put underneath, and maybe you cap it off with a short call, you know, above some of the highs we posted here back in March. And, those should be profitable levels for anybody with cattle on feed.
Okay, let's go over to the grains. Are you looking to sell rallies? Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, ultimately, yeah, I'm not in a major hurry. I mean, I think we will see December corn, you know, ultimately trade back towards that $5 mark. Yeah. I think November beans should be able to get in towards the 1240, 1250 area, you know, without any major disruptions out there. So yeah, I think you want to bide your time, you know, for now. But as we move into that normal seasonal period, June, latter part of June, yeah, it's time probably to have the selling shoes back on.
Gotcha. Dan, you're one of my favorites. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right. That is Dan Huber from the Huber Report. Man, we can cover a lot of ground when we get Dan on here. There's no question about that. Okay, it's time to put a wrap on the week. It's time to put some highlights on the conversation that we just had with Dan. We're going to get Davis to help do that next right here on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Friday afternoon, Chip. Friday afternoon.
Here it is. It's looking stormy out there, looking a little gnarly.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Yep.
I had a,
starting to happen.
Had a little problem today. I'm not quite sure what to do about it.
Okay.
I had ordered just some household items from Amazon.
Yeah.
Razor blades, you know, stuff like that. Among that was some extra strength acetaminophen.
Okay.
So I opened the box this morning, and it turns out I didn't get Tylenol. They sent me laxatives instead.
Oh. Extra strength?
It looks like just regular strength, but it does say 2-in-1. I'm not sure what 2-in-1 means when it comes to a laxative.
They seriously got your order wrong?
They seriously did. I'm holding laxatives right now, and my thought is, you know, if the wife says she's got a headache, I'm not sure laxatives are a substitute at all for Tylenol.
No.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I would not go that path.
It's going to be a lonely weekend.
Either way.
Hey, but I'll be regular. You know, I'll be regular.
We've got that. Okay. Wow.
Short covering, huh?
Yeah.
Short covering in the wheat. Gets us between the spring, the soft, and the hard red winter wheat. We're ranging between 50 and 70 cents, call it roughly, up on the week. Short covering had certainly had a hand to play in that.
Oh, absolutely. And this is... Dan didn't want to assign this week's any specific fundamental factor to this week's rally in the wheat market. Yeah, it's a little dry out there, but that's window dressing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, maybe we're getting competitive in the export market, but we're not there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had several reasons that we could look at that might chase the sellers out of the wheat market. But the bottom line is, I think they just got tired of being short.
Well, yeah, that was an interesting comment because you and I often look for, well, what is that catalyst? What's that next thing that's going to, you know, what could possibly move us up the next leg higher? And, you know, his point in that was, you know, sometimes there isn't a catalyst. They just feel like, well, you know, tick tock, we're out.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks ago, you know, but, okay, I want to go back to a week ago today. Okay. A week ago today, who did we have on? Rick Naser.
Yeah,
Rick Naser, the independent wheat trader. Mm-hmm. All we were doing was talking about wheat and the possibilities. And at some point in that conversation, Rick said, yeah, Chip, who knows, in this wheat market, we might wake up at the end of the week and be 50, 60, 70 cents higher.
He did. He did say that.
Yeah. And here we are, a week later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to shake the cobwebs out of my running gear up in between my ears. And here we are, 50, 60, 70 cents higher in wheat. For no big reason.
I was going to say.
For no big reason.
For no big reason, sustainability becomes a question for me.
Oh, it should.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely should. To me, the rally in wheat has overextended its stay by a day already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just basing that off of past performance, okay?
Now, when you... And it was an excellent question. I can say that because I was thinking it too. If we can get, if we can peel off some of these shorts and get a short covering rally in wheat of all things, perhaps is corn next in line? Everybody wants to know that.
Right. Could we wake up a week from now and corn be 30, 40, 50 cents higher? Yeah, it could happen. It could absolutely happen because of the amount of short covering and the seasonality of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, the market has to punish the winners because the market always punishes winners.
Mm.
And the funds on the short side of the market, anybody that's on the short side of the market, has been a winner for quite some time. Now, we're trying to work this corn market to the upside. Sideways is the best description of the trend in corn.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, the market has to do what it can to punish the winners and to encourage them to step out and reevaluate for later activities. So, yeah, I think it's got to happen at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen next week.
Yeah.
But it happened in wheat.
Yep.
It can happen in corn and soybeans too.
How much, you don't know, how much like trader see, trader do is there between, we'll just call them the pits, between the wheat pit and the corn pit?
Okay.
Are corn traders looking over going, wait a second, those guys are jumping ship. We should probably do that too.
Well, we call it spillover support for a reason.
Okay.
So the buying spills from wheat into corn. Mm-hmm. So you've got traders that refuse to participate in wheat trade. We call them the smart ones.
Wow.
I am sorry.
It's a frisky Friday on AgriTalk.
That was some sort of a reaction, a reflex that I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
But so they don't participate in wheat, but they look over at what's happening in wheat. And absolutely, they say, hey, if wheat can rally, corn can rally too. If corn can rally, beans can rally too. So they're watching that very closely.
All right. Very good.
All right. May 2nd through the 6th on the National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook, above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, most of the eastern two-thirds, three-quarters of the country minimum. Above normal precipitation expected through southern Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. You got near normal to below normal precipitation expected in the eastern Corn Belt. Thank you so much for listening this week. Monday morning, Machinery Pete. We're going to hear from Farm Journal's Chris Bennett with an important story on landowner rights right here on AgriTalk.